you've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I grew up collecting sports cards as a kid. It's a hobby of mine. I have continued that into my adulthood. And, you know, especially during the pandemic, I don't know, I was like everybody else who went into the garage and opened up the cards and started sorting through them. And my good friend Brian Capel, who is a creative director and designer, he's been involved with the college football playoff. He's designed everything from sneakers to commemorative whiskey bottles for NBA All-Stars. He's had his artistic impression on a lot of different things. We've had him on the show a couple of times over the years. He is joining us now to talk about the latest in sports cards and collectibles. Portland's got a sports memorabilia card show going on at the Oregon Convention Center. It is coming up March 15th and 16th. So, yes, this is Saturday and Sunday at the Oregon Convention Center, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Brian Capel joining us. Hey, by the way, let's go back to the pandemic, because you and I kind of geeked out during the pandemic. What was it about the pandemic that made sports cards kind of come back into everybody's psyche?
Well, I think it's exactly what you talked about, is everybody went into the totes and the boxes and saw everything that they had. And, you know, the great thing about the hobby is, in general, is just the accessibility to it, is that you can go and buy a pack of cards and you're back into it. So I think a lot of people saw value in nostalgia during the pandemic, and then that, you know, everybody was dipping back and seeing the things that they had or had collected when they were kids, and all of a sudden there was a value to that because everybody was sitting in front of their computer looking for something good to chase down, and I think sports cards and other collectibles really kind of provided that for everybody.
You and I, you know, I'm not going to say that I haven't bought some of the new stuff, but I tend to gravitate towards vintage cards. I think you're the same way. And in fact, you know, for our listeners, Brian was on the show last time to talk about his book. He wrote a book, a fascinating book about the 1948 Leaf baseball card set and the history of that set and why it matters and the printing variations. And Re-Leaf is the name of the book as well. But do you find yourself still gravitating towards the vintage stuff? If so, why?
Yeah, it's I have a tough time getting into the new stuff, and I think anybody of our age who lived through what they call the junk wax era of the late 80s and early 90s, where it was just the market was just inundated with cards that right now are really not worth a whole lot other than nostalgia. I think that there's more something, you know, in a romantic kind of way. I think you and I are the same, that there's a romanticism of the kind of folklore of old school baseball, that, you know, they were kind of larger than life and everything. And I think that that's where I've always kind of gravitated towards the vintage stuff, because it's kind of a piece of that. It's a piece of that kind of romantic era of baseball. And not that I don't love current baseball, but it's just it just seems a little too flashy for me. I kind of like the old grit and the old tooth of the old cards.
And the kids love the new stuff. I mean, you can open a pack and you can get you can have like a lottery ticket waiting inside of a pack if you get a certain autographed card that is, in sort of the new era of collecting. But for me, I love the T206 tobacco cards because I know nothing about those players. I never interviewed those players. I don't know their bad habits. I don't know if they were, I just know what history has told them about them. And it's interesting to me to put a face to some of the players or the names that I've heard over the years. And then I like baseball cards of the 1950s because, it's an era that was before me. And it feels like I'm learning about the players and seeing their faces. What about the 1948 Leaf set appealed to you?
It's funny. It was kind of a multi-level thing that kind of got me into it, was that I was looking for a set that I could essentially pass down to my kids. And at that time in the industry, it was regarded as a 1948-1949 set, which just so happened to be both my parents and my wife's parents, the years they were born. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Everything's aligning. As I kind of got into it, it became more of an aesthetic thing from my roots in visual arts and lithography, is that it kind of became pretty clear early on that it's like, okay, this is just a four-color process. This is a very simple form of printmaking. but they've kind of created these kind of dynamic images that look almost like a Warhol. And so there was multiple kind of things that kind of drew me into that set. But then as I kind of started digging into it, this is, you know, what the book's kind of all about, is me digging into it and seeing it from multiple different angles, from product creation all the way through the art side, that it captured this kind of cross-section in the history of baseball, where you have elderly Honus Wagner in his managing, you know, when he was managing for the Pirates. You have Larry Doby, you have Jackie Robinson, you have Satchel Paige at the very beginning of their career. You have a memorial card of Babe Ruth. You have Joe DiMaggio. You have all these names that just, you know, in the pantheon of baseball are just all represented in the set, and it just became this, you know, wild kind of goose chase to you know, track it all down. And I think that for me is like, that's the love language of collecting for me, is the hunt. And so I think that provided it. And so, you know, I don't collect the prettiest cards. I don't collect the most mainstream cards and everything like that. I collect the ones that are just fun to track down, to, you know, the joy of kind of finding them.
Brian Capel with us. You are going to be one of the vendors at this baseball card sports cards memorabilia show that's going on Saturday and Sunday at the Oregon Convention Center. For people who want information on it, frontrowcardshow.com. That's frontrowcardshow.com. Give us an idea. 260 tables. There's going to be SGC, one of the grading and authentication companies, will be there. Give us an idea of what to expect at this thing. I think I'm going to go on Sunday.
Yeah, it's quite a thing. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, growing up back east, you know, the card shows that I would go to, you know, they kind of spanned from the Women's Community Center in Ithaca, New York, to the Sheridan Inn. So it's interesting how card shows in general have developed and yet stayed the same. So to have one here in Portland, you know, on a bigger scale that is sports cards and is new sports cards and vintage sports cards, but it also gets into the non-sport cards. And the Pokemon, you know, kind of speaks to what you had said earlier about, you know, the winning lottery ticket type thing. And that's, you know, again, the endearing part of the hobby is this accessibility that, you know, you buy a pack, you're a collector. There you go. You're in the game that way. And I went to the Front Row show as basically just someone to go to the show up in Tacoma a couple months back. And I was just blown away by the crowd. I mean, it is a cross section of all kinds of great things to collect, and excited collectors there, and it was quite the event. So I'm hoping that same kind of energy that was up in Tacoma is going to be down here this weekend as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and tell us, you know, because you're more tuned into what has happened historically in the Portland market and in the state of Oregon when it pertains to these shows, and my impression is that it's a lot of mall shows or they're smaller shows, and this one with 260 tables at the Oregon Convention Center feels like it's a bigger deal.
Yeah, it's a bigger show. I mean, and you do. And I think, you know, again, that accessibility part of it is the great part of it, too, is that, you know, there are the mall shows that you can go to Lloyd Center and go to the shows there. There's local Collectors Association shows that happen, you know, once or twice a year that are at middle schools in the, you know, in the Portland area. And the same thing kind of happens up in the Seattle area. But we really don't have a bigger show that kind of comes through that has the bigger names of, you know, like you said, SGC, that has JSA, that has these kind of bigger dealers from not just in our area, but from around the area that are coming in to kind of, you know, set up and do that. So you're going to get to see a lot of things that you wouldn't normally get to see if you, I don't know, dip down to the Lloyd Center shows, you know, on the weekends and stuff like that. Sometimes you'll catch something that you haven't seen before, but with a show like this, there's enough tables there that there's going to be a lot of fun stuff to kind of check out.
We're talking to Brian Capel. He is a creative director who has worked with the College Football Playoff. He has designed sneakers. I don't know if we can talk about this, but I think you designed something for Steph Curry once upon a time. Can we talk about it now? I mean, is it okay to let a little bit of that out, or is that an industry no-no?
No, sure. I mean, you know, I think that's the thing is, I think if you talk to any designer, especially in town, because these opportunities kind of come across your plate from time to time that you're just like, either you've been in it so long that you're cynical and you're like, oh, it's just another project, or you kind of get to step back and go, all right, that's pretty cool. And sometimes, you know, you don't necessarily get the tag on the social post or anything like that, but for the people who know you and the people you let know, it's like, yeah, I did that, and that was pretty cool. You know, so I think that, you know, the stuff for stuff and definitely a bunch of things kind of through the years, I kind of fall into that category where it's like, you know, last summer I did, custom shoes for Red Hot Chili Peppers. And, you know, it's these fun little projects that kind of come my way that you're just, you know, I'll sit here with my wife and just kind of be like, hey, look what I just got in. You know, just one of those things that you kind of have to take a step back every now and then and be like, you know what? Pretty sweet gig. So
what do you, okay, so let's talk about the Chili Peppers. What are you doing custom shoes for those guys? Like, what do they want?
Well, so what was funny is that it was a gift from the venue they were playing up in Washington. And so, you know, a lot of these venues, you know, it's like they kind of have to up the game a little bit in order to be able to net the bigger acts that kind of come through the venues. So, you know, along with the shoes for the Chili Peppers, I did a guitar strap for Chris Stapleton. I did, you know, so it's just like they have this kind of roster of people that they want to really impress, because, you know, if they go out there and they put it on their social media and they tag the venue, then, you know, it's current marketing. It's the way things are done nowadays.
I love that. All right. And the Steph Curry thing, it was more from his mom, wasn't it? Like he was like the All-Star MVP, and then I think his mom wanted like a commemorative whiskey bottle or some kind of decanter. I can't remember that, but it's fancy.
It was a very fancy, way more fancy than myself. It was like a commemorative thing.
I love it.
I think that's the thing, is that, you know, a lot of what kind of comes through is that kind of gifting element, you know, especially for athletes, you know, that kind of VIP level. You know, they can get anything they really want, but it's the little touches that are thrown on top of that kind of, you know, sets it apart from just being another gift, something that's just, you know, handed to a person, then goes into the closet, or is handed to an assistant or something like that, something that resonates a little bit deeper. Those are the real special kind of gifts.
Brian Capel with us. Portland's Front Row Card Show taking place Saturday and Sunday at the Oregon Convention Center. I'm going to pop over there on Sunday. Brian, you're going to have a table or a booth there. FrontRowCardShow.com for people who want information. I think it's $10 to get in. The hours are 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's even a trading hour. The trade night begins on Saturday night at 5 o'clock when they knock off. What goes into trade night before I let you go here?
You know, what's funny is I've never done one, but I think I'm going to do it this time.
Okay.
And I think it's no money changes hands. It's essentially just like old school when we were kids, you know, bring your little tackle box full of cards and set them out and try and make some trades. So
I love that. I love that.
I don't know that there's going to be anybody who's looking for vintage, but I'll be peddling a couple things.
I will be looking at your booth on Sunday. So give us an idea of what you're going to have for sale. Have you gone through the stuff yet? Is that still taking place now? Where are we at Thursday and in the 5 o'clock hour? You're probably wrapping up some of that stuff.
Yeah, we're getting close. I've got everything priced, and so I've got actually a pretty nice smattering of, pre-war kind of vintage cards and everything like that kind of going back. I've got a nice selection of OBAC cards, which are kind of special to the Pacific Northwest, because like you said earlier with the tobacco cards, those were a regional issue for the Pacific Coast League. So I've got a bunch of those. I've got a couple Leaf premiums, which came in the actual boxes of Leaf cards in 49, which are tough to come by, but I've got a one of those, and I've got a Wheaties box with Lou Gehrig, and then a couple other things that I'll be bringing along just to kind of see where the what people are looking for.
Love that. Brian, I appreciate you joining us, man, and for people who are interested, Saturday and Sunday, Oregon Convention Center, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Front Row Card Show. Leave it here. Coming up, I'm going to talk about Kaiser Soze. Do you know who I'm talking about? Remember the movie The Usual Suspects? Yes, spoiler, what is it, 30 years later? Spoiler, Kaiser Soze may be coaching in the state of Oregon. I'll tell you what that's about next.